This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Transcribing.
Okay, I'm Sid.
I'm Marty. Croft.
Yeah.
Okay. How much are these?
About 79.
All right.
I have to start asking.
He's got the Land of the Lost website, landoftheloss.com. We're going to bust him after this meeting.
How cool. Wow. That's great.
You know, we asked earlier, and I'll ask you the same thing. The studio took a very comedic approach. While still playing it straight, the original TV show didn't really have comedic aspects.
Right.
It was played straight.
Right.
Were you guys perfectly fine with that?
Well, it didn't happen that way. The studio had, the studio only got the results of what we created. So we recreated Land of the Lost. You know, we created it, and then we got all the people, Brad and Bo, everybody, and then we pitched it to all the studios, the five studios. They all wanted it. And we on purpose developed Land of the Lost in the 90s at Disney. And then we developed it at Sony and Paramount, all dramatic. But the bottom line was, it was like another episode. And the scripts didn't happen. So it was our idea, you know. Julie Domedy is the head of management for Mosaic. Jimmy Miller, who's a producer with us, who has all the talent. So we figured that the best place to be was to have somebody with all the talent, because we had all the properties. So I always say that Jimmy Miller is our Alfred Hitchcock. He likes it. So anyway, we always had Will Ferrell eyed. We finally decided that we were going to marry comedy with Jeopardy. But the big secret is, the big unknown is, how do you get a great script? So that's what we got. So we had Will Ferrell attached for like the last 3 years. So when we went out to pitch it, you know, it was already... we already had the concept, and our script is great, and it's funny, and the Jeopardy is great, but marrying those two together is a little unusual. And then we've kept the integrity, you know, of the original show, and they've really honored it. Everybody that's doing the show, except maybe one of the people, didn't know the show. I mean, Brad wouldn't be directing if he was radical about all our shows. And Brad Sibling is unbelievably great. I don't see anybody else doing it. Initially, Adam McKay was attached because he's Will Ferrell's partner. You want that? Are you okay? What's all that out there?
They're putting away breakfast. It'll just be like that.
Do they have to do it now? Okay. Okay. So you know. So ultimately, it's a Universal. Now, the one reason, you know, for us, that it's a Universal, that Ron Meyer, who's the head of Universal, we were his first client at CAA. So I have my agent here at Universal. So whenever I need something, I can go to him, and he says, stop coming to me to go against my own company. So it's all good. And they let us do a major picture here. This is, and you know, the picture goes in 100 places.
You know, every 3 or 4 minutes you're going to be in another location. Something else, the dinosaurs, usually you see them in a jungle or through foliage. Well, in our movie, you're going to see them in the dunes and wide open places.
I grew up on Land of the Lost, and as a kid, right, just people fighting dinosaurs would have blown my mind enough. But it's the sleigh stacks and the mythology and the science fiction elements,
right,
that really make it special.
Right.
How did that come
what
in?
Now?
Did you want to see someone from CSI out here?
Can I do it for 1 minute?
Yes, sir.
The star of CSI. She's going to hire me, isn't it? I'll be right back in 1 second.
I can
okay,
keep talking.
Don't believe a word he says.
Yeah.
So how did that element come into that science fiction, the sleigh stats, all that?
Well, you know, as you know, we've done many, many shows, and this was our fifth show. All three networks used to wait every year to see what our next show was. We've never, ever did a pilot. What we would do is a beautiful, huge colored book with all the characters. It would tell the whole story. I'd go in with Marty. All the executives in the different studios or networks would just sit around, and I'd put the book on the floor and tell the whole story. Now, when it came to show five, when I was 11 years old, my dad took me to see 1 Million BC with Victor Mature. We had never, and that was in Providence, Rhode Island. I even remember the theater. It was the Paramount Theater. It scared the hell out of me because we never, ever saw a dinosaur moving, you know? Yeah, in old King Kong or whatever, some of those, you know, way back in the 30s, but nothing like 1 Million BC. It made such an impression on me that when we, every year when we came up with a new show, I always thought dinosaurs. Wow, wouldn't that blow everybody away? Especially kids are so in love with dinosaurs. And so what it was is the Swiss Family Robinson, because every single show has a family or a little boy or a little girl that is lost in this world, and like the Wizard of Oz, and you just at home root for them because you love them and you can relate to them and you can't understand why they can't get home. You know, that's very disturbing. So I knew about that element. And every one of our shows had that element. And so now, when we started opening it up, okay, I had a father, a son, and a daughter, which was perfect because, you know, little girls, little boys, and everybody loves their dad. So that gave me a good beginning. Then we originally thought of a Tarzan kind of a character, and I didn't like that because that wasn't original. That's where Chaka came from, the Pikunis. See, it just started unfolding. Now, the Slea Stacks, they were sleazy and they were very tall stack. That's where that name came from. And the Slea Stacks came from the dinosaur because they were lizards. You know, and so, and I needed, and when Chaka, you know, I needed another kind of a, that you could understand and relate to, that it wasn't just a monster. So man came from ape, and you know, and that's how all that came about. Now, for some reason, every one of our shows, if you look at our credits, we sucked in the top people in the business because they were so fascinated with everything that we did. We didn't have the money to pay them, but everybody wanted to work for us. And as you know, all of our writers were from Star Trek. And they loved the idea, the dinosaur idea, you know? And so that's how that all evolved, you know? And now, like Marty said, when Paramount and Disney and, you know, and Sony, they were just wanted to do another episode, and that's not what we wanted. And one day, I said, do you know what this is? It's Bud Abbott and Lou Costello meets Frankenstein. And the writers went, we got it. Whoa, Frankenstein's the dinosaur. Nobody's ever approached a dinosaur that way. But Adam Lou Costello, they didn't disturb Frankenstein. You know, they kept that character, and he was still scary. But so that's how Will Ferrell. Now, Will Ferrell, the reason we love him is he's not like Jim Carrey, over the top, you know? You really believe him. You want to have a drink with him, you know, a beer. And then our other two actors, Danny McBride, oh my God, you know, I mean, he's just, that is somebody that you definitely relate to. And you're going to believe him because he's not a huge star yet, you know? If Jack Black did this part, because that's, the part was written for him, it would have been Jack Black. I love Jack Black. But we lucked out. Everybody on the crew, everybody, you know, grew up with it. So the respect, and even forget the respect for the property, the name of the game is the script. And you guys all know that. And if the script sucks, you know, you got a bad movie. And the script is sensational. And the fans, they're going to be so happy. I know they are. Hey, I've been in this business a long time. The other day, I spent 4 hours just looking at the dailies by myself again. You know? And, whoa, if it goes together, you don't know until you put it together. But trust me, I know.
What about...
you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
What about the movie-going audience that never got to see the original show? What will attract them to this?
The Sleestaks and the Dinosaurs. Yeah. The Dinosaurs. You know, Jurassic Park. You know, I mean, every time you say to a kid, dinosaurs, but here's one real important factor. The second batch of Star Wars, kids didn't know Star Wars. You know, their dad and their mom and their big brother said, oh my God, this is what I grew up with. Wait until you see this. Because you guys know, we've got, TV Guide told us, we got 30 million fans today for Land of the Lost. Your age, right? And now, you got kids, you're going to take them, you don't know if the movie's good or bad yet, you know, until you see it, but you're going to take them. You're going to go see it. I saw The Hulk the other night. I don't know why it's getting a few bad reviews. I loved it. I really loved it. I mean, I had a good time, and that's what I go to the movies for. And the audience, 6 times they applauded and cheered it, you know? And I had a great, great time. It moved. It's like God, I can't even, I've gone blank right here. It's like a James Bond movie, yeah, you know? To me, it was. And, you know, it just, it had the action, and you had a good time. Okay.
So, quick question. So, when you were developing it, when did you guys decide to not put it in the rules? When did you decide just to make it 3 adults going instead of, like, the family talking about?
Well, because it was, like, repeating. Then it was going to be a G movie, you know? I wanted to, hey, I'm really doing it for you guys. First. This guy, you know, yeah. And first, and I'm being very careful because I don't, you know, I don't want them to be pissed off at us. And they were when they heard that we were doing a comedy, that we took this property that so many people loved and grew up. And it's amazing to me that you've taken it with you all these years. I mean, Marshall, Will, and Holly, when Will Ferrell learned how to play a banjo, right? And in one scene, he starts singing the song. And the whole crew, I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. The whole crew just freaked out hearing that song.
Were you aware that he played a character named Marshall, Will, and Holly in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
No.
Really?
I was never aware.
No one's brought that up?
No, that's the first I've heard of it.
That was the name of his character, Will Ferrell's character in that movie.
Oh my God. I never, you know, because I'm saying, I haven't told anybody yet, but I thought just a pre-poster to go up and just say, Marshall, Will, and Holly. Just that. all over town, you know? And then the actual poster later. That's the way I see it. Because everybody knows Marshall, Will, and Holly. But now you screwed it up.
You know, Shaka has his own language and actually had it developed for the original show.
Yeah, at UCLA.
Is it still going to be the same language?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Introduce the same
language? And the guy playing Shaka, oh my God, he's unbelievable. He's just unbelievable. And he learned the language, and he spent, you know, weeks just studying chimps and in the zoo.
How developed is the language?
Who was studying chimps?
Yama.
He is a chimp.
Yeah. You answer that.
I don't know what the question was.
Oh, how developed is Shaka's language?
Well, we had this lady, Gloria Fromkin, who created the Bakuni language. She was a professor at UCLA, and I think she really believed what she created. At the time we created the language, we needed the NBC cameras and said, you got to have some social value in it. I mean, it's always been like, the social value thing is like, forget it. Okay. So we said, okay, how about this language? Oh, that's educational. So we got 4 points for that. But the reason that the sleaze stacks are slow, in my, I remember, because the network said, don't make them fast. And they did us a favor because it works.
Well, and that works in this film, too. That's part of the comedic aspect.
Right,
they're
right.
Not fast.
Well, I don't think it's funny.
It's very scary.
No, let me tell you, it ain't funny. All these guys have found me that they were scared shitless of these guys, okay, when they grew up.
You know, the reason that they move slow like that, the original reason is that when we all have a dream and something is chasing us and it almost paralyzes us and everything moves in slow motion, so that's where really that came from, you know? And not only that, the sound stage that we were on was probably as big as this tent. Where the hell were they going to run?
I wonder if you guys can talk about specifics where you know, pay honor to the original show.
Is this going to be on your website? No. You're getting yours. Your
yeah, the original show.
That's the guts to show up here. That's why we're going to let them stay on.
All the locations, you know, are there, and we, the Sleestaks and Chaka, and you know, and the skeleton is there, you know, of what you grew up with.
So I don't know what Sid said when I was gone, but on the Sleestaks, you know, it goes back to how we honored the series. We made sure that we didn't change the names and the look. Like we upgraded the Sleestaks. Because if we had changed the way they look and they would have come out on they would come up on the screen, I think the audience would have booed. Now they may, you know, cheer. I don't know.
They're really. Did you see pictures of them?
Yeah, the costumes are great.
Oh yeah. Oh no, they were incredible.
Yeah.
And on stage when all 32, and of course they'll lay in more. It's awesome.
So did everybody get to ask a question while I was going?
Yes.
Well, we're assuming this is going to do well because I think this is going to do well.
Assuming what?
That this is going to do well, and I think it will do well. Are there more classics in Marty Croft properties that will be coming
yes.
to theaters?
Yeah. Marty.
Well, we're working on it. We're close on Puff and Stuff and Sigmund.
No, and again, what studio was that again?
it's in Egypt. It's a major.
I was going to ask you,
if you come back tomorrow, I might be able to tell you.
I was going to ask you that sometimes you guys have a lineup of a lot of stuff, and sometimes it takes that first property to get made. And was it all of a sudden when this got greenlit that all of a sudden you're taking more meetings about more stuff?
Oh yeah, all of a sudden we went from hero to zero back to hero. So you can never count anybody out. As a matter of fact, I don't know whether I told you this thing about giving up that we learned from our father. Never, ever give up. If someone tells you to give up, get rid of them. Because if you give up on Tuesday, there is no Wednesday. So I never gave up. If I had listened to other people, then my family, outside of my family, we wouldn't be here today. we would have sold the company for $1.98. You know, and we're not interested in selling our company because we're the only really independent left that has a library. Now Paramount or you know, Deke may have a big library of 1,000 titles, but our 12 titles, I would say 10 of them are movies and or television series and or, you know, we're developing the Bugaloos for kids right now. You know, so I mean, we're working on a number of some new things, developing on a new country show since we did Mandrill. We did country for the whole country. We brought country music to America for the whole country. It was only, you know, it was very segmented. So we got something now coming, and that again, I got some, that's working with some great people on that. So that'll be, you know, we don't talk about, it's easy to hype. But hype gets you nowhere other than trouble.
I was going to ask you, how do you know, with some of the properties that you guys are talking about redoing, how do you know if you want to do it as a film? Do you have like certain properties that you're saying, wow, that would be a good to do as a TV show again? Or, you know, how do you know what you want to do for each property?
Well, it's just a matter of, I think that right now we're focusing mostly on film. You know, what we think will work in film, I mean, look, how many things do we need to do? You know, right now we got this thing going, and I'm sure, you know, we didn't wait for this to open to do something else. We can. I think that there are a number of titles that are conducive to film, like Lidsville, Electra Woman and Dynago. There's a big star that wants to be Electra Woman. I mean, you can't. One time we sold, while we were doing Land of the Lost, we sold three other shows at the same time. So I went to Sid and I said, Sid, he wanted me to do another one. And I said, Sid, if we do one more show, we'll be bankrupt. Because we funded everything. That's why we own everything. I mean, I just left the girl from CSI and Jerry Bruckheimer. Now, he makes a lot of money, but he don't own nothing, you know. But he probably better off. And I asked him, are you happy? He said, yes.
Do you have a favorite show or favorite character of both of you?
Well, it's a
Barney.
That it's your first child. You know, Puff and Stuff was our first child. So for me, it's Puff and Stuff, and then of course I love
One Show.
One Show.
Yeah, One Show.
No. And of course I love Land of the Lost.
I love
you know?
Them all.
It's nice to see you.
Puff and Stuff. We're working with Puff and Stuff. There's something great possibly happening with Puff and Stuff.
Well, I'm curious about Puff and Stuff, because Puff and Stuff, after its initial run, kind of got adopted by a different audience who maybe watched it under different circumstances.
Well, we had 17.
So I'm curious with the film.
What do you mean after? Well, no. Marty will tell you about the Beatles. The Beatles were ordering.
Well, first of all, Puff and Stuff.
Yeah.
I thought you were going in another direction. We're not talking about drugs.
Okay.
If we did as many drugs as you think we did, we'd be dead. Okay. The fans did drugs, but let me tell you where it's at, where it was at, and where it is today. Okay? Where it was at is we did 17 episodes, so we lost our tail. We lost $1 million doing it. Okay? And that was like frightening. Fortunately, we had. You know, we were at Six Flags with shows, and we were creative. You know, we did Rise for them, so we were, you know, we were able to take from Peter and pay Paul. So, but Puff and Stuff in this country, with the 17 episodes, they ran in the first 5 years, they ran at least 20 times each episode. So people talk to me now, and they think there's 100 episodes. So if there wasn't. Now, that was the big thing. As far as the adults watching, the high school kids, right now our main audience is 30 to 45, but there are under 30, there's a selective amount of, but that isn't our audience. They're coming. Now, what we did to help that, we just made a partnership with MySpace, where, you know, if you just have a website there, forget about it. Nobody finds it. But part of the deal, it was a partnership deal, a sharing deal, and we're coming up this month. And we're guaranteed 2 billion impressions on the front page, at least, okay? Now, that brings them to the front page, which is 80 million people a day. So how many, it costs $700,000 for that front page. How long do you think they have it for $700,000? Let's say Warner buys it for Harry Potter. How long do you think they have it?
Well,
tell you. Who said that?
I did.
You know too much. 24 hours. So we go from there. You know, the first week, though, we'll probably be on it three times, four times, to our site, and then to the store, and where we build up the merchandising. But the big thing is the merchandising.
Explain what's going to be on MySpace.
I have not three yet.
Okay, the format. Okay.
Okay. So what we've created, my brother, you're seeing what everybody's seen in 35 years. So we've created a thing called, we trademarked, Sony has mini-sodes, and we have Croft Quickies, K-W-I-K-I-E-S, 4-minute episodes of Huff and Stuff, Land of the Lost, Sigmund. We're going to premiere with three, we're going to do three episodes of each for the first month, you know, on these Croft Quickies. So they're going to, the new kids will go from the front page to that, hopefully see it all, do their drugs, and go to the store.
Any chance you get to redo the TV show if this does really well?
Well, I think, you know, of course, once the studio makes the film, they have most of the rights. I mean, we're included in everything. So, yeah, you know, I don't think we're going to, if the movie scores big, there's always a sequel, because they've run out of ideas. You know, that's why there are sequels.
And it's written for that.
But let me tell you, Puffin' Stuff is no piece of cake. Puffin' Stuff is tough. We've developed that three times. And it didn't work. The last time it really didn't work at Sony. But that's another story. But it is very difficult to do Puffin' Stuff. Now, we think who we have now is going to nail it. Because he just told me about 10 minutes ago. Because I can't tell you, it's the writer on this movie. You know, so, but he's not signed yet. He can't use this. That would be, you know, lying. It's all done. They're all done, and they're all being filmed. Lying.
And just for the record, you know, Puffin' Stuff, the name Puffin' Stuff, the big song was Puff the Magic Dragon that year. And that's where that came from. HR, he was the mayor. And we didn't want to call him Mayor Puffin' Stuff. So he was the Royal Highness, and we took the R-H and turned it around. It's not Hannibal.
Nobody believes it. They did a survey on the internet. Yeah. And half a thousand
and they
people
with
the HR, what the HR is. 999 people said hand roll.
Tell them about the Beatles.
No, I'll give you that before he gets off of this. The network thought it was a sissy title.
Oh, they hated
it. They didn't know
Powder Puff,
that a drug dealer named it for us.
They thought it meant Powder Puff. They said it was a girl's title.
We're through.
Well, what about the Beatles?
The Beatles? Well, I got a call from Brian Epstein while we were doing, like, we were just on the air in London. He said that the guys want to see, can you send the guys a film every week? So they saw it every week, and we know it for sure, because Ringo moved next door to my brother until he burned the house down. So anyway, so it was nice. We gave you a lot, and that's
sure.
It. So what happened? So when do we see all this? I hear. When do we get? Oh,
when the embargo is lifted.
Yeah.
Closer to the film's release.
Don't listen to her. Put it up.
What did he say?
We got it on tape. That's funny.